Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
I want you to know that it is a beautiful, sunshiny,
December day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So glad that you have chosen to share in this broadcast with us on this morning, whether you are listening live or whether you listen to the broadcast 24/7 at your convenience at another time online. Either way, we are glad that you are joining us in the broadcast on this morning. I want you to know that if you would like, the call-in number is 347-850-8855. This is the number that you can call in to listen live, perhaps on your cell phone, perhaps you're out and about, and just if you dial that number, you can hear the broadcast live on this morning. But again, also, you can listen 24/7. The easiest way to get it 24/7 is simply to go to my webpage, Alfie, A-L-F-I-E, Wines, W-I-N-E-S, and you will see it there as well. You know, I love Monday morning. Monday is the time that we get our week started. It's the time that we get our day started. It is the time that we are here to keep you moving throughout the year, throughout your entire life. Before I get into the broadcast on this morning, I do want to let you know that I have a webinar that will start tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock a.m., and you will, of course, be able to find that easily out on my Facebook page, but also it's in many places out there, and I won't go into all of that. But, you know, this is the end of the year. December is closing fast, and January is fast approaching. And so the new year is my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. I love Thanksgiving. I enjoy Epiphany, but my favorite is the New Year. I certainly enjoy the hope and expectation and making plans for the New Year and figuring out what I need to leave behind. All of that is a very special time of life for me. And so I want to invite you to listen to my webinar, Take Back Your Life in 2016. That will be at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, and I invite you to that on tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, December the 8th. Take Back Your Life in 2016. It is a webinar, and it will be available. The phone number will be available as well as, you know, for you to listen again online. So looking forward to branching out and doing some new things in that way, and invite you to share the journey on that. Morning. We're talking about the desert. We're talking about hope in desert places. You might have seen it under the title this morning, Hope in the Desert. Either of those is applicable for the topic on this morning. We are in the season of Advent. We are in the season of looking forward to celebrating Christmas and remembering Jesus and his birthday. This is, of course, a day that is honored all around the world, and it is a wonderful time throughout the world, and we certainly enter this season joyfully, hopefully, looking forward to all that the season brings. When it comes to the church year and when it comes to anticipating Christmas, we begin with what we call Advent, and usually that's about 4 weeks. And depending on how it falls on the calendar, but it is a time to think about hope and love and joy and peace, four of the spiritual blessings of the many spiritual blessings that God has for us, but we focus on these four during the season of Advent: hope, joy, love, and peace. And on this morning, we want to think about John the Baptizer. I like to call him John the Baptizer because that's what he did. We don't want to get him confused and think that he was what we know today in our Baptist denominations. And so we don't want to call him Baptist, but actually Baptizer is a better translation, is a better way to think about him, his life, and what he did. Now, yes, I know that many translations will still call him John the Baptist, but I want to let you know that in this broadcast, we'll be thinking in terms of John the Baptizer. John represents that lone voice in the desert, that lone voice in the wilderness that ushers in this new era that Jesus is bringing to all humanity. When I think about his story and I think about how the scripture tells us he was dressed and, you know, what he ate and so forth, that he was really living on the land and eating, you know, what nature provided, you know, long before the days of all of this stuff that we have today. We're grateful for it, even though we know that we don't need to eat a whole lot of it, and we some of it we don't need to eat at all. But for sure, in his day and time, as part of presenting his ministry, he was away from all of the centers of power, away from the center of religious power, away from the center of, and yet, if we go to Luke chapter 3, and really it covers all of the verses from chapter 3 to chapter 20, but I just want to lift up particularly verses 1 through 6 on this morning. If we think about John the Baptizer, he is out there, and the writer is letting us know, as Judith Jones reminds us, that when the writer of Luke is telling us about the leaders, the religious leaders and the political leaders of the time, the implication is not just to give us the time frame for the happenings in John the Baptist's life and Jesus's life, but the purpose of all of that is to help us think about the difference between earthly kingdoms and God's kingdom. And it's a way of letting us know that earthly kingdoms are very different than God's kingdom. And in fact, you know, the scripture tells us, Isaiah tells us, that God's ways are not our ways, and surely we understand that. And so this placing of the text in the particular time is a way of reminding us of the contrast between God's kingdom and the kingdoms of the world. Let me read just those six verses for a moment, because we want to make sure we bring this in the proper context. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of, I can hardly read that, I believe it's Arthuria, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. In the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It's written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What a powerful passage telling us that God's coming into the world, that Jesus is coming into the world, is what we might consider earth-shattering, for it turns the world upside down. And in fact, not only did Jesus' coming turn his world in his day and time upside down, it also turns our worlds upside down. For when we come into knowledge and understanding and acceptance of Jesus as our Savior, we find that our lives, too, in many ways, are turned upside down. And so John the Baptizer is letting the world know that a new era, and when I say era, I'm saying E-R-A, or a new time period, is coming in the life of Jesus Christ. This particular passage is letting us know, is reminding us, that even in desert places, there is hope. Imagine John the Baptizer. Let me say it again. Imagine John the Baptizer out there in the desert, out there away from the centers of religious and political life. I often wonder, how is it that people came, and certainly perhaps we can imagine that he had someone to go out there with him in the very beginning to help get that word started. But once that word got out, people came in droves. They came in crowds to hear his message and then also to be baptized. And Luke reminds us that when Jesus came, when John the Baptizer was preaching, and in this particular case, there was a conversation going on with the audience, and they were asking questions about what they needed to do because their hearts had been touched when they heard his message of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Of course, baptism was something that was already familiar in the Jewish context. They all already had that tradition. And for example, out in the desert, as a matter of fact, in some of the places, Qumran, where the archaeologists have found what we would call baptismal pools. And so they're already familiar with that. They're already familiar with the idea of water connected to cleansing. And so what John the Baptizer does is he does his baptizing in the Jordan River, which is a very important place in the scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, when Jesus himself is later baptized there. But in this message that John is bringing, it's important to understand that he thinks of himself as a voice. In the Gospel of John, when John writes about this particular situation, this particular aspect of the life of John the Baptizer, he lets us know that when they asked him, who was he? He said, in reference to this same passage that Luke is referring to, he says that he is simply a voice. the reason why he calls himself a voice is to let his audience know is that what is important is his message. He does not want people to focus on him, but he wants people to focus on his message. And what is his message? His message is one of repentance. And in fact, he even, in making his point, he even, later in the passage, if we go to verse 7, he will speak of his audience as a brood of vipers. In other words, what is a brood of vipers? That's a reference to snakes. And it amazes me that people came to hear him, even though, in other words, the message was in many ways a hard message, because the first thing he wanted people to do was to repent. What repentance does in our lives is so powerful. You know, sometimes we hold on to things so much longer than we need to. But what it does is it frees us up. It frees us up mentally. It frees us up emotionally. It frees us up. And that energy that we had been holding on to and perhaps grieving over or feeling guilty about or perhaps feeling ashamed of, but when we come to repentance, that energy is released, and we are able to take all of that energy and redirect it and move our lives forward. And so even though it is a hard word about repentance, it is a hopeful word. It is an encouraging word. And so, yes, people came from miles around. People came to hear the message because they understood that this was God's message, God coming after years, centuries, 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, when God's prophetic word was silent. And not that there weren't other words, but certainly the prophetic word in the spirit of the prophets of the Old Testament, all the way from Isaiah to Malachi, all of those books, the prophetic books. And so John the Baptizer is coming in the spirit of those prophets. Those are the written prophets, but Elijah as well, and Moses as well, and several others named in the Old Testament. John the Baptizer comes in that same spirit, in the spirit of Elijah, bringing a word of hope. And so the repentance is what gives the power. We sometimes feel powerless about our situations. We feel like there is no hope. We feel like there's nothing that can be done. But I want to suggest that when we come to repentance, that in and of itself releases the power that we need to make decisions, to do whatever we need to do, to carry out the actions, to change our behavior, to move forward in our lives. And so there is a wonderful connection between repentance and bringing God's best into our lives, making room for God's best in our lives. And when he, in the passage in Luke, as John the Baptizer touches people's hearts, then they began to ask, well, what should I do? What do I need to do? Because their hearts have been touched, and they realize that they need to live differently. And so they ask, what should I do? And he tells them that they need to share food and clothing. If they have something, share with someone else. And certainly the Christmas season and the Thanksgiving season remind us certainly that we need to share with others. But of course, that sharing needs to be done throughout the year, not just at the times of Thanksgiving and Christmas, but to be in in conscious and to be continually sharing what we have with others. But then the questions go deeper, and John the Baptizer's answers go deeper, because he begins to tell people, "Don't, extract more from the taxes," and he tells the soldiers, "Don't extract more than you should." In other words, to accept whatever your pay is, and to honor that, and so forth, and so. John the Baptizer is encouraging people not only to make this kind of difference in their individual lives where they're sharing, but also in their communal lives, as Judas Jones reminds us. Because when these references are made to the tax collectors not to take more, and the soldiers not to extort more from people, what the writer is doing, or what John the Baptizer is doing, is addressing the community, the communal needs, because we know that when systems are set up, a few people are blessed and others don't have the resources that they need. It is because economics, because what is happening in the economic system. And so actually John is addressing what's happening in the communal and the economic system when he tells people, you know, not, in other words, don't be greedy. And so, yes, he comes with this powerful word that extends to people's individual lives as well as communal lives. And what an awesome word for us today. This word blessed the community thousands of years ago, and this word from John the Baptizer, ushering in the life and times of Jesus Christ, announcing his coming, is also a word for us. Because if God can bring a word of hope to Israel out in the desert, we are reminded that God can bring hope to our desert places. Whatever those particular situations are, whatever we are dealing with in our lives, whether it's relationship-driven or health-driven or financial, you name it, you fill in that blank. Whatever those desert places are in our lives, God brings a word of hope. And for us as Christians, we understand that that word of hope is connected to the birth, the death, the life, the resurrection, and the promise to come again, the ascension and promise to come again. All of Jesus' life is a word of hope for us. So as we continue in the Advent season, as we continue anticipating the Christmas holidays, I want to remind you on this day of the glorious hope that we have in Jesus Christ, of the glorious hope that John the Baptizer spoke of when he was introducing Jesus Christ to his community, but not only to his community, to all the world. May you continue in hope. May you continue in love. May you continue in joy. May you continue in peace throughout this Advent season. God's best to you. I want you to know that God loves you more than you could ever imagine, that God wants good things for you more than you want them for yourself, that God loves you so much it would take God an entire eternity to give you all the love that God has for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. Until the next time.
Okay, I did.
A breakthrough coming your way. the mighty move of God is gonna change your day. Signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just hold on, change is coming. I feel it in the air, it's in the atmosphere. Just hold on, change is coming. A move of God is on the way. A move of God. Your midnight to turn a sunshine, yeah. It's gonna happen. You wait and see. All things are possible to them that believe. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on. Change is coming. God is on the way.